And let's pray. Father, I do thank you again for our sister Janet O'Neill. And Lord, as she's recovering in the ER, Lord, just really giving out so much love and so much of herself, Lord. And I do pray that your healing hand be upon her. Lord, bring her back stronger than ever before. And just thank you for her service. Lord, we thank you that you are the God that heals. By your stripes we're healed. And Lord, we don't want to neglect any of the others that are suffering and hurting in our church and in our body. Lord, maybe they're dealing with just physical temporary illnesses like Reuben, Lord, who normally leads worship here. I pray your hand of healing be upon him. And Lord, others, maybe those that have gotten a bad report from the doctor, Lord, I pray that you would touch their body as well. Lord, we do have those in our body, and we don't want to neglect praying for them. And Lord, thank you that tonight we pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your scripture through Revelation chapter 8, in Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Revelation chapter 8? And it's a continuation of the sealed judgments that started in chapter 6. And so that seventh seal, before that's open, you have in chapter 7 what you might call a parenthesis or a stop action. Remember, if a movie is going on, and all of a sudden the characters in the movie, they have maybe a flashback. And all of a sudden it shows a scene of something other than that narrative that goes on. And then when that flashback is over, it comes back to the narrative. That's what we see in chapter 7. It's information that is leading, that really tells us about the sealing of the 144,000 and the multitude that get saved. The sealing is the 144,000 Jews. And those that are getting saved, these are tribulation saints. And so that's what chapter 7 is. It's really kind of what they call a parenthesis or information within the narrative that's going on. And then we continue on in the sealed judgments in chapter 8. So chapter 7 is kind of, you might call it a sealing and also salvation. And now there's the opening of that seventh seal, and it's introducing the next series of seven judgments. These are trumpet judgments. It gets more radical as we go on. Remember, we're in the wrath of the Lamb upon the Christ-rejecting world. But even within that wrath, there is mercy. There is time for salvation. And remember that the church is not on planet Earth, and maybe within this time period, we'll do a topical on the rapture of the church and show why they're not here and how the Bible teaches that they're not here. But now this seventh seal will be open, and then seven trumpet judgments, kind of like fireworks. We have a lot of that here in Hawaii, down in Waikiki. They have a firework display. What is it, every Friday? Friday night, it's pretty spectacular. It's pretty neat. Or the 4th of July or the New Year's that is coming up. And the fireworks, sometimes you'll see a firework go up. You see that trail go up. And then all of a sudden, an explosion. And you go, oh, that's neat. But then within that explosion, there's another explosion. Boom, something else goes off. And kind of like collateral explosions. And that goes on for a while, and then another explosion. Well, that's kind of like what we're seeing here, the judgments, the seal judgments, and then that seventh one explodes, and then now we have the trumpet judgments, and then after that, you're going to see the bowl judgments, and so it goes on. And so we're in chapter 8. It says, and when he broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Silence in heaven. Now that's interesting. Amidst all this judgment, all this chaos, everything that's going on, here there's stillness, there's silence. Now I know guys like to make jokes and commentators like to make jokes, and they say silence in heaven for a half an hour. Well, maybe that's because women are late for getting into heaven, and they're not in heaven at this time. I don't think that at all. Maybe they're just taking a nap at this time, but silence in heaven, and it's kind of eerie. And maybe if you're on earth and there's silence, maybe you think it's all over. It was just coincidental. Or maybe it's a calm before the storm, before more judgment comes. I think what's happening here, that silence in heaven, God is giving opportunity to repent before that next wave of judgment. Remember Pharaoh, who he had remorse after judgment came and there was a little bit of a respite. He had remorse and maybe he backed off. He said, okay, yeah, go out of the land, you out of the land. But then all of a sudden, when the pressure was off, he was hardened again. He was stubborn again, pride again. And so, he didn't really repent. And he didn't follow through with what he said he was going to do, that repentance, when the pressure was on. And that seems to be what's happening here. Those on earth, they may think that, oh, wow, that wasn't really judgment from God. That was just a natural phenomenon. That just kind of happened. And so they dismissed the fact that God was judging planet Earth. But in reality, it was a wake-up call for them. And now there's that calm. There's that silence. There's not judgment, but it was a wake-up call for them. But they don't really respond. You see, the steps of God from The steps of God from mercy to judgment are always slow, reluctant, and measured, someone said. It's a good quote. Good quote. The steps of God from mercy to judgment are always slow, reluctant, and measured because God doesn't want to pour wrath. He wants people to come to repentance. Then in verse 2, I saw the seven angels who stand before God and seven trumpets were given them. Now, the seven angels before the Lord, these are appointed and directed by God to carry out the judgment. Now, that's a prominent place to stand before the throne of God. That's an important place. Remember when Gabriel gave the message to Zechariah? Zacharias, that him and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son even in their old age. And Zacharias is questioning, how can I know that? We're old. And Gabriel says, I'm Gabriel and I stand before the throne of God. Almost like, what do you think? Here, I'm an angel, I stand before the throne of God and I'm giving you this message. And he said, I'll give you a sign. You won't be able to speak until the child is born. And so really standing before the presence of the Lord, that's a prominent position. And notice they have trumpets in their hands. Trumpets, trumpet judgment. You find all throughout the Bible, trumpets are very significant. They do announce certain things. You find that trumpets in the Old Testament, they would summon the nation for a public meeting. You find that they would alert soldiers for war. They would signal important Jewish events in their Jewish calendar. You find in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, it sounded at the giving of the law. At Sinai, trumpets were blowing. And also the conquest of Jericho, remember? When they went around the walls blowing the trumpets at the very end in Joshua 6:13, the voice of the Lord, the Bible says, is like a trumpet in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. And then at the rapture of the church, the Lord will descend from heaven with a voice, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will be raised, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up or raptured with the Lord. You find that 1 Thessalonians 4:13-16. So the trumpet is very important. And so here, that trumpet is going to announce the judgments. And so it says in verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given him, and he that he might add to it the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which are before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hands, and the angel out of the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer, and he filled it with fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. So here, when the angel does that, here the trumpet is, the judgment is ready to be meted out. Now, this is a picture here in verse 3 to 5. It's a picture of the prayers of the saints. And it's a heavenly perspective. It's from heaven's point of view. Remember the priest that was in either in the tabernacle or the temple, the high priest, they would have that censer and they would have the coals on the altar of incense. And when that incense would burn, it would go up with smoke. It would be a very fragrant scent, but it would go up and it would ascend to heaven. And it was a type of the prayers of the saints ascending into heaven. And here, this angel, very important to recognize this. This angel is a representative of Jesus Christ in the office of the high priest. Remember, the Bible says Jesus is our high priest. He's making intercession for us day and night. Quite often in the Old Testament, if you're a note taker, in the Old Testament, Jesus is spoken of as the angel of Jehovah. An Old Testament Christophanies or appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. You see it in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. You see it in 1 Kings 19, verse 7. You see it in Isaiah 37, verse 36. And so here in that office of a high priest making this incense, the prayers of the saints. These are all the prayers that were ever prayed by the saints. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is what's taking place. In chapter 6, verse 10, remember when these martyred saints are saying, how long, O Lord, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood? All the way back, I think, to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, Abel's blood crying out from the ground. Now it's being answered. All these saints of the injustice, the martyred saints, are being answered here. Those who defy and those who blaspheme God and persecute the saints, now they're reaping what they've sown. They've sown to the wind, they reap the whirlwind. There is an Old Testament, well, there are other many Old Testament, not many, but there are Old Testament psalms like Psalm 94. And you find that they're called imprecatory psalms or psalms of judgment upon the wicked and the Christ rejectors or God rejectors. And Psalm 94 says, O Lord, God of vengeance, God of vengeance, shine forth, rise up, O judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud. How long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour forth words, they speak arrogantly. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves. They crush thy people, O Lord, and afflict thy heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the orphans. And they have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. Pay heed, you senseless among the people. And when will you understand, stupid ones? And then he goes on and just the God's judgment upon them. You find that in other parts of the scripture that here they are praying that God would deal with the wicked and those that, like ISIS, who are putting to death Christians, putting to death innocent people who name the name of Islam or Muhammad. This is what they will face. And that incense are the prayers of the saints that are going up. It's interesting how you find there is in the Bible a certain formula for making this incense. It's a formula, and it's not to be used for just an incense that smells good in the home. No, you don't do that. This is for the prayers that go up before the Lord that only the priesthood would offer. Jesus being our high priest, this is not a common incense. This is a holy incense. And you find that formula in Exodus chapter 30, verse 34 to 38. And you find that there's four types of spices that are in that. The stati, the onycha, the gabalon, the frankincense. And they're made from different gums and different resins and really aromatic resins and spices. Very interesting. And what you find in these, they're not also for incense, but often they would use those to wrap the body, or at least some of these trace elements of these to wrap the body of the dead. I think that's interesting, because this formula was not to be used for common use, but for holy use. And when you think about these are the prayers of the saints going up before God, and when you think about this being some of the spices that were used even to bury the body of Jesus, boy, what a contrast, isn't it? Dead, right, raised to life, God judging those that put the innocent to death. It's an amazing thing. And so the prayers that go up are the prayers that are prayed by the saints that God would recompense to them judgment that is due them. And rightfully so, that's just what he's doing. Verse 6, notice the first trumpet. And the seven trumpets who had, or the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. And the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. So here, the first of these four judgments, and notice the judgments are on creation. They're natural kind of disasters. On the land, the sea, the fresh water, and on the heavens, we'll see that with these. But first of all, the vegetation, a third of the trees, a third of the green grass. Judgment is now upon, notice the earth. Notice judgment is upon those that worship the earth, those that are Mother Earth, Gaia, the worshipers of creation rather than the Creator. And oh, there are a lot of those. Earth Day, extreme environmentalism on the EPA that are more concerned for the environment they are for aborted babies. They're in love with the environment, environment protection, climate change, the so-called global warming. I don't know if you just saw the article. They track, there's global cooling. So they've stopped global warming. Now it's climate change kind of things. But this is a judgment upon them. They take their focus off God. Don't you think God can take care of what he created, the earth and the plants and all that? Because they're so caught up in that kind of worship, that is their God. God now judges that. He judges that. And it's kind of similar when you think about the judgment that God brought upon Egypt, the 10th plague there upon Egypt. God's judgment upon where you find that he pours out from heaven judgment and the plants and the fruit trees, the pasture lands are affected by that. And so when you think about this, when you think about all the vegetation and the trees, that is very significant to the food supply. It's very significant to the so-called carbon footprint. Because with, they said in Israel, when Israel, they planted over 200 million trees, they said that began to change the climate because it takes the the trees take the carbon dioxide out of the air and oxygenate the air. And so here, can you imagine when you've destroyed a third part of that? The very thing that man is so concerned with, your carbon footprint. So they want to, if they ever got their way, they would tax you and try to put that burden on you, where they're not gonna do any good. They're not gonna change the climate. Only God will do that. And so here you have this hail, this fire, this blood from heaven. It's an electrical storm. What is happening here? What we're going to see as we go on, we're going to see that there's going to be a cataclysm in the heavens. We've already said in chapter 6, verse 10, I think it is, the stars fall from heaven. Maybe they're asteroids or comets or whatever it's going to be. But you're going to see that there's going to be fire that is falling from heaven, a huge star. There's going to be cosmic changes in the heavens. We don't exactly know. It doesn't tell us exactly what it is. Is this that we're seeing here, hail, fire, and blood, electrical storms, something like that, that is so severe that it's destroying what we see, a third of the vegetation? Actually, in Siberia, in 1908, there was an asteroid that destroyed 770 square miles of forestry. Millions upon millions of trees were destroyed in Siberia. But notice what takes place here as we go a little farther, that second trumpet. And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third part of the seas became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So here the land, a third of the land mass and the greenery is destroyed. Now we find in the seas, a third part of the seas are destroyed, and the creatures in the seas and the ships. Now, notice it says that a mountain burning, that's an interesting, now you have to have a first century mind where you wouldn't necessarily know what that is. We know what asteroids are. We know what comets are. But they're describing something they're seeing that maybe they don't have a term for it. So it's a mountain that is burning with fire, falling to the earth. Now, it's a single object like a great mountain, a fiery trail that fell to earth. We know now that NASA is very concerned with killer asteroids. In fact, NASA their latest scan for impact event threats using Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer took two infrared scans of the entire celestial sky between 2010 and 2011, looking to find asteroids and comets near Earth. Their scan found that there's 20,500 asteroids and comets that could destroy a city-sized area called planet killers. Now, mountain-sized asteroids, they number 981, and they're near the Earth. Two astronomers in Spain, they spotted what they call DA14, a 150-foot asteroid orbiting Earth. And this was, they said it would pass by February 15th, 2013. It would pass closer to Earth than some of our satellites. It was to be the closest pass of a descent-sized asteroid ever before. They said if an asteroid that size hit the planet Earth, it would cause an explosion similar to a nuclear blast. And some had suggested then that February 15th, that impact was possible. Now, That didn't necessarily happen, but remember what happened in 2013? That 7,000-ton rock, 60 feet wide, that meteorite smaller than an asteroid exploded over Russia. Remember on the news, that great flash? It injured 1,500 people. It shattered windows. That dazzling light blinded eyes. It burned skin when temperatures were below freezing. So was that the meteorite or asteroid that was seen, that they saw? Well, we don't know. But it's interesting that was a concern. But here it says that one-third of marine life died. Because when this happens and an asteroid would hit in the ocean, it would create chemical changes in the ocean. And a third of the creatures in the ocean will be destroyed. Now, here, what do we say? Save the oil, save the whales. You know, there's just the whole desire to save the whales, but kill the babies. You know, I mean, we're so mixed up. You know, save the eagle eggs, and yet abortion is legal. And now with their trying to, you know, their big wind turbines for energy, they're destroying thousands of eagles that those things are killing. But, you know, it's amazing how hypocritical man is. But here you're going to see that God really just comes and judges all these, this mixed up kind of thinking that they're so in love with the earth, and they're so in love with those things that God created, and yet they destroy the things that God gave life and gave a spirit to, that now you're finding that God is going to create an ecological disaster because man is so consumed with these things. The sea coming, turning into blood, well, that's interesting. They have the red tide now. And when you find this mountain from heaven hitting the seas, there will be deadly microorganisms in the sea. We have that even now when you have the red tides. When I was a kid, we used to have the red tides in Manhattan Beach where I used to surf. We'd go down and surf at night, and when you paddle in the water, it would be like fluorescent because those microorganisms would give off light. You'd walk on the beach and you'd have these fluorescent type lights. But this is going to be something that's going to destroy. It's going to destroy the fish in the sea. It says a third of the ships will be destroyed. Well, when this thing hits the ocean, you can imagine the tidal wave that's going to cause. Now they say that there are 31,000 registered vessels with 1,000 or more gross tonnage. So 10,000 of those would sink in this tsunami when this thing hits the ocean. It's likely it'll happen in one location and those ships will be destroyed. And all the devastation will be nearest the impact of wherever this mountain, this fiery mountain, touches down and hits the earth and hits the sea. Verse 10 says, and the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. So this great mass, again, it's from outer space. It's something that's happening in the cosmos. It's a burning as it enters the atmosphere. So it could be a great asteroid picking up space contaminations, pollutions, and when it hits the rivers, it's called wormwood or bitter. Bitter means it'll poison the waters. National Geographic Society, they list 100 major rivers in the world. The Amazon is the longest. It's 4,000 miles long, to the Rio de la Plata, which is 150 miles long. U.S. Geological Society reports that 30 large rivers in the United States. The Mississippi is 2,710 miles. And so when you think about these rivers, a third of these rivers will be poisoned. And it's a star that falls. Now remember, when it falls, it's going to shatter. It falls, but it shatters. And the debris falls on the various bodies of water and poisons them. That is going to be a horrible, horrible situation. 200 scientists in 50 countries, they identify the water shortage as one of two most critical problems facing the 21st century. They say 1 in 5 people today have no access to safe drinking water. That's 1.5 billion people. They say that only 2.5% of Earth's water is not salty, but 2/3 of that is locked in ice caps and glaciers, which means 20%, the other 20% is in remote areas, leaving less than 0.08% of Earth's water available for humans to drink. Probably didn't know that. That seems a little scary. Also, we'll note as we go a couple chapters, when the two witnesses are witnessing, they will close up the heavens for 42 months and there will be no rain. So at that point, when you find that a third of the rivers, the water supplies, are polluted, and you find that the heavens are closed and no rain, you're going to find that water is going to be more expensive or more valuable than diamonds. It will be a commodity that people will be fighting for. It'll be a horrible situation. Now, when you think about asteroids and when you think about these things, article just about a little over a year ago, June 2015, it says agencies hoping to deflect comets and asteroids set up Earth's defense. In grappling with the threat of doomsday rocks from outer space, Hollywood has always been far ahead of the federal government, cranking out thrillers full of swashbuckling heroes, rockets, and nuclear blasts that save the planet. Well, it goes on, and it talks about the asteroid that hit Siberia in 1908, and then it talks about the 2013 meteorite, the 7,000-ton rock, you know, that I had mentioned, that 1,500 people were injured and shattered windows and so forth. But they're now talking about asteroid interception. They're trying to plan a way, because they feel it's going to happen, where they can intercept an asteroid. And so they're planning on building a super rocket. And it says, intercepted rocket tipped with a warhead about 75 times as powerful as the Hiroshima bomb to send it off and blast the asteroid. A global disaster, scientists say, would require the impact of an asteroid or comet having a diameter of at least 3/5 of a mile. So far, they have found about 1,000 such objects that potentially cross the Earth's path. Now, just 2 days ago, another article came out. So anyway, they know these things are there, out there, circling planet Earth. When and how that's going to happen, they don't know. But they're preparing for it. And this article 2 days ago in the New York Times, it says NASA and FEMA rehearse for the unthinkable, an asteroid striking Los Angeles. And then it goes on to say, NASA at the Jet Propulsion Laboratories lists 659 asteroids that have some probability of striking the planet. We must continue searching for asteroids in case there is one that is heading our way. deflect an asteroid spacecraft, ram it into the asteroid. They're calling it a kinetic impactor. And they say Asteroid Day, a global movement to protect the world from dangerous asteroids. 1 million asteroids have the potential of striking Earth. Only 1% of them have been discovered. It goes on, the article says, the more we learn about asteroid impacts, the clearer it becomes that the human race has been living on borrowed time, Brian May, an astrophysicist, says. And then, remember a global disaster scientists say would require an impact of an asteroid or comet having a diameter of at least 3/5 of a mile. So far, they have found about 1,000 objects that periodically cross the Earth's path. You see, they're already thinking that. The Bible says that. And so how are they going to solve that problem? Well, let's build a rocket with 75 times the atomic impact of Hiroshima and blow it up. Hey, read the Bible. Instead of doing that, repent. Repent, come to faith in Jesus Christ. Get raptured, you won't have to worry about this. I mean, hey, isn't that true? But isn't it interesting how the Bible talks about this? And it's now, scientists now have discovered this, and they're trying to figure out a way to thwart a killer-sized asteroid hitting the Earth. The Bible says it's going to happen. It will happen. Well, we go on, and it says in verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were smitten, so that a third of them might be darkened, and the day might not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. Now, some will say, you know what, this, maybe it's not an asteroid, but maybe it's a nuclear exchange falling from heaven, that rocket, and doing all this. Possibly. I mean, you have two scenarios that our governments are talking about now. Yeah, maybe a nuclear holocaust, but maybe asteroids. We don't know. We do know when something cataclysmic like this happens, you find that the debris that it causes when it hits is similar to a volcanic explosion. We've already seen what happens when a volcano goes off. The ash and the dust and the debris go up in the upper atmosphere. It blocks out the light of the sun, the moon, the stars. Remember when Mount St. Helens went off, or Pinatubo in the Philippines, or even in New Zealand, you know, that, I can't even pronounce the name of that that volcano that went off, but Washington was in darkness at noon, a third less light, a third less energy to support life's system on Earth, temperature changes that'll take place. Usually when that happens, there's a third more crime. Interesting article, Jim Barnes, he couldn't believe his ears. This was when Mount St. Helens blew. It says that for 24 years, he had been flying YouTube reconnaissance mission for NASA in the clear, cold blue of the stratosphere. Now he was assigned to collect air samples in the great gray plume of erupting Mount St. Helens. And it extended up, 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 all the way to 63,000 feet, where he had never seen a cloud before. Jim Barnes was not the only person who could not believe his eyes that Sunday, far below on the colorless ground that looked like Venus and Mars to him. People in Washington, Idaho, Montana were experiencing a day they would soon come to call Ash Sunday. Midnight darkness came at noon in Yakima, Washington, And soon the skies were black over Spokane, Lewiston, Idaho, and Missoula, Montana. The gritty cloud kept growing until it stretched halfway across the country. So in other words, the very thing that the Bible is talking about is something that, yeah, volcanoes do already, but when it be an asteroid or even maybe a nuclear exchange, all these things, I mean, we're right on the edge of that now. And then finally, he says in verse 13, it gets heavy now. He says, I looked and heard an angel flying in mid-heaven. An eagle. It's not angel. Your Bible, I was going to say, your Bible might have angel, but that's a different word. It's eagle. Angel is agalos, and this Greek term is aetos, so it's eagle. It's just a mistranslation in the King James Bible or New King James. And flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So here, this eagle flying in mid-heaven, giving the warning. It's like, remember when John saw the four living creatures worshiping the Lord in chapter 4? They cried out, holy, holy, holy. One of those living creatures was one like a flying eagle. So here, a flying eagle crying, holy, holy, holy. God is able to make the animal kingdom talk. He can do that. I mean, if he did it with Balaam's donkey, who rebuked Balaam, he can do that. In fact, there will be heavenly creatures that are praising the Lord. And so this is an eagle flying in and crying out, giving the woes to those that, notice, dwell upon the earth. Literally, dwell fixedly on the earth. In other words, they live on and they live for the earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. You see, we're different. But these are earth dwellers, those that are committed to the earth. And it's a triple woe. That means this is serious. It's a warning. The next judgments are more severe, and they're more severe because we're going to see demonic activity taking place. These are from God from heaven. Yes, he's allowing this ecological calamity. He's allowing the stars, the asteroids of heaven, or man to just press the button, you know, and go for it. But then the next, he's going to release the demons. Demon powers are going to take place. Such a horrible time on planet Earth. Praise God that we won't be here. And I think probably, as I mentioned, it's probably time to do a study. Maybe we'll take the time and next time, but maybe the time after, we'll do a study on the rapture. Because I think when we go through these things, it scares a lot of people. They go, are we going to be around? It scares me to death. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't have to fear these things. God has not appointed us for wrath, but he's appointed us to stand before the throne of God. We have nothing to worry about. But if you're not a believer, yeah, you should be not just concerned, but you should be fearful, because these things will come to pass. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away before the word of God, you know, not come to pass. You know, the Bible is going to be fulfilled and be true. And he's good to his word. And so I would just say, if you don't know Jesus Christ, as we have Cliff or Anthony come on up and pray, I would encourage you to come up and just ask them about the Lord. They could lead you in a word of prayer. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Lord, there are scary things that are on the horizon. Lord, and we find science, sometimes the more that the scientists get deeper into science, they almost become little gods in themselves, and they think it leads them away from you. But it only declares your glory, and it only declares your truth in a real way. And so, Lord, we do thank you for the discoveries that are current. Lord, and as we get deeper into the book of Revelation, we'll see that even the discoveries today and the things that technology has shown us and is leading us into, Lord, is just been prophesied 2,000 years ago. And it's why we know we're at the end of the end times. And Lord, I do pray that if there are those that don't know you, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't wait another moment, but they would come to faith in Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray, amen.